Good morning, everyone. I think Jody slipped in some estrogen in my coffee this morning. It's been a very emotional morning. In all seriousness, though, this has been a teaching that's been in preparation for a few years. And within those few years, we've joked here to be careful what you pray for. And allergies. One of those prayers of mine had been, whatever breaks your heart, Lord, break mine. He is absolutely doing it. Do you know who or what your first love is? Father God, I ask that you would fill me, help me to get through this. That your perfect word would be spoken through me, through an imperfect person. That your imperfect people, that their hearts would be ready to hear it, that their minds would be able to comprehend it. And Father, that they would receive it, that we would all receive it, that your Holy Spirit would be here with us today, moving, changing hearts, Lord, opening eyes to the truth. And Lord, through me, that they would see your heart, how it is broken over this topic. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we truly know, do we truly understand what first means? I came prepared. A lot of the scripture I'm going to be using is going to be paraphrased or shortened, mostly for the sake of time and mainly to just get the point across. So be the Bereans that you're called to be. Study this, go back in, challenge what the Lord has laid on my heart to teach. The first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. What is a god? Jezebel, Baal, Dagon, Marduk, Moloch. There's countless more. It's amazing the list of false gods that there are. Make no mistake, though. Gods they are not, but they are the principalities that we battle. Here's the thing, though. It's anything or anyone that we put in front of the God of the Bible. Self, hobbies, TV, video games, sports, career, car, house, clothes, your phone, your spouse, kids, serving, volunteering, and money, just to name a few. Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 37, Mark 12, verse 30, and Luke 10, verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So how do we apply no other gods before him to everyday life and everything we do? We make it about him and his glory. We do it unto the Lord. Are we confirming this is how he wants us to spend our time, who he wants us to spend it with? we make it kingdom-minded instead of, what do I gain from this? What's in it for me? Does this bring me pleasure? Is it self-seeking or self-gratifying? Jesus said all. He meant all. This isn't a parable with some riddle we have to figure out. So if we're giving him all, then how is there anything left for anyone or anything else? God is sovereign, you see. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Ephesians. Ephesians 2:8 says, he is the giver of our faith. James 1:17 says, he is the giver of all good gifts. John 15:5 says, he is the vine. See, we cannot outlove him. We can't outgive him or outwork him. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 talks about that. When he is first in our lives, he gives us the love for our neighbors, our spouse, kids, hobbies, careers, serving, and so on. The difference is by putting God in his rightful position in our lives, everything else falls into the correct perspective, the correct order, the rightful place in our life. 1 John 4:16, God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Let me say that again. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Therefore, the one who is love, for those who have accepted the gift of salvation, love is in them. Love is God, God is love. And he, love, is already in you, waiting to be released on. Waiting to be released onto the world. First Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know what your body is? The temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and and you are not your own. Again, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have been given from God, and you are not your own? Isaiah 40:28, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? He does not run out of love to give. He has plenty to go around. But he has to be in his rightful place in order for it to work the way he designed it. In order for what we say we believe to be real in our lives. Brian mentioned last week that if we have a real saving life, that it would show up in all aspects of our life. There's no way that happens without God being in his rightful place. Here's the thing. Although he pre-forgave us before time and then chose to die so we could be reconciled to him, those that chose to accept the gift of salvation, he immediately moves in. He indwells us with his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. From there, it's on us for that relationship to grow. God will not force you to do anything you do not want to do. He wants a receptive heart, one that's all in. We have to invite him to make the changes needed. Don't get me wrong, we have a role to play, but he will do all the heavy lifting. Free will and the sovereignty of God. It's an awesome thing. By not having God in his rightful place in our hearts and minds, we are missing out on the fullness of God that Ephesians 3:19 talks about. To know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We catch that? We will be filled with all the fullness. That's how we are able to love as he commands. When he is first, we experience all his fullness. See, his love is different than ours. His love for us is agape. The highest form of love. An all-encompassing love. It's a love we are not capable of giving without the power of the Holy Spirit. When we become more like him, we love every person as they need. Our hearts line up with his. Our worship is real and unhindered, unashamed. Our works full of joy. Our prayers are of him. We give whatever it is joyfully. We protect with righteousness, not with vengeance and anger. We have hearts that desire. We have hearts that desire reconciliation, not separation. We are then able to forgive others before it's even asked, just as he did for us. He tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves because it's the closest thing we can understand to his love for us. Why? Because we're naturally selfish. Kate's worship today was awesome. Her and I talked a little bit, but we didn't talk about what she was going to sing about, what songs. That's absolutely the Holy Spirit, koinonia. See, when we put all our focus on him, loving him with all our hearts, trusting him fully, he takes care of the order that everything else should be in. We don't need to worry about that. He does it. Being able to love like this requires work on our part. Work that focuses on him, being in his word, praying his word. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never ceasing in prayer. See, the work is putting in the effort. He does the rest. Again, Ephesians 2:8, he is the giver of our faith. Isaiah 41:10, he is our strength, our endurance. Matthew 11:30, his burden is light. We take on so much that we don't need to. It affects our relationships. Separates us from him. We lose focus on what's important. So many of the scriptures that follow that same mindset. When we abide in him, he abides in us. If you would, everyone jump to John 15, chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. For clarity, that's hell. And they are burned. He's telling us we can't do this without him. I would think if you think back at your life, our lives, that, and if you're willing, he'll show you that that's true based on past experiences, decisions, interactions, behaviors, whatever. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Ask for him to be first in your life. Verse 9 and 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's his will for us to abide within him. And Jesus is the leading example. By abiding in him, we are able to keep him first. Thank God for this quick story. So, somehow Knox, my dog, ended up in this teaching. So, a quick little backstory. So, I wake up 12:30 a week ago last Saturday, 12:30 a.m. Happened to see a text on my phone from Brian. Felt, well, I'm up. I might as well see what the Lord has to say. Prayed, waited, prayed, waited. And here comes Knox. I'm getting nothing. A couple minutes go by. I looked at Knox as he lays there staring at me, and the Lord gave me this to share. When I come home from being gone, he's at the door waiting, excited for me to be home. When I get up at all different hours, 4 a.m., midnight, 2 a.m., it doesn't matter. Within minutes, he comes to find me. Or when he knows I'm leaving, he sits at the door dying to go with me. He knows when he sees me put my boots on and jacket, I'm leaving. He beats me to the door. I literally have to change doors to get out of the house. How many of you here know Knox? You all see how excited he gets to see you all? He wants to be near you. He makes the rounds to everyone to say hi. When he gets a toy or his favorite treat, the excitement expressed is all through his body. Here's the point. There is nothing Listen to this. There is nothing wrong about being excited about someone or something. But they or it has to be put in its rightful place. We need to be careful not to worship the gift and lose sight of the giver. Knox has shown me time and time again that I am his first love. He knows nobody will love on him the way I do. He knows that because I have proven it to him. Just as God has proven it to us time and time again. Knox loves being around me. He can't get enough of me because he loves how I love him. When it's like that for us towards God, we know then he is first in our life. Our first love. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, 10, to put on the whole armor of God. If you would turn with me there. I can't even see. You want to come read this, Brian? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The same principalities that we talked about in the very beginning. The same principalities that we do not see other than the physical evil that's done because we allow it. Because we're not putting on this armor. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He's not saying part of it. He's very specific. You need all of it. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. The evil day could be today, could have been yesterday, tomorrow. Whenever evil comes your way. To stand therefore, having girded your waist in truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. That only happens when he's first. I'm not talking about tongues. I'm talking about here. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All the saints, that's us, the church worldwide. Perseverance. I challenge you to study the pieces of the armor and why they're all needed. It's like going to a gunfight without any bullets. Your gun just became a hammer. It's not going to do you much good unless he's really, really close. Putting the armor on is for all the reasons Paul mentions. You know what else putting on the armor does? It guards against God being taken from his rightful place in our hearts and minds. The Word of God is full of exhortations, encouragements, and commands of keeping God as our first love. Guess what the Word has about not doing so? Warnings. Hebrews 6 warns us about apostasy. It's talking to the church, the people who think they're saved, or the people who are saved and or thought they were saved. Jesus himself in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 warned us about the narrow gate. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Get away from me, I never knew you." Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the soils the seed fell on and the danger of not cultivating our hearts. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 talks about allowing ourselves to being deceived and being given over. Romans 1, 24 and 25 talks about God giving them up to the lusts of their heart. Now it's time to bring it full circle. Join me as I pray real quick. Almighty Father, King of glory, continue to show us your heart. Help me and everyone here receive you fully and to see your desires for us, to love you, God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to you and only you. Praise Jesus. The book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, are the letters to the church. Let's turn to chapter 3. We're in the letter to the lukewarm church, the last letter. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Actually, Knox did that this morning. It's pretty gross. The Lord spoke through Brian a week or so ago on this, neither hot nor cold. They were content with doing nothing. Jesus will vomit them out. In other words, he's going to reject them. The dead church, chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Jump down to verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus has nothing good to say about them, the dead church, operating without the Holy Spirit. You are dead. What he's saying is repent or be blotted out of the book of life. Jesus says he will not blot out his name. That's indicating if only they repent. The corrupt church, Revelation 2, chapter 2, turn with me there, verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Jesus here is calling out the sexual immorality taking place, sex out of marriage, orgies, adultery. These things aren't a joke. I'm talking about eternity. The compromising church. Chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Jesus here is calling out the idolatry and once again the sexual immorality. Oh, now the loveless church. Turn with me there. Revelation 2, I'm going to start in verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He who has an ear, let him hear. When I started this study, it was actually on the lukewarm church. And this is what the Lord put on my heart as I was starting the preparation. It's clear as day. What if? What if we, the church, kept God as our first love? Imagine what the world would be like if we were able to just watch and pray for an hour, just as Jesus asked in the garden, Matthew 26, 40 through 45. Would five of the letters even be needed? Or worst case, at the very least, be written differently? For clarity, each one of these letters could represent an entire church at any point in time, a few people in any given church at any point in time, multiple churches at the same time at any point in time. More importantly, they represent our individual lives through our lives. The question is, where is your heart currently? Which letter or letters represent you right now, today, the current season of life you're in? Turn to Galatians 5:25 with me. we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Guys, can you throw up that picture for me? What do you see in this picture? Can you see the amazing love, joy, and gratitude being expressed? This is a great depiction of Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Take a second. Really look at it. Look at the embrace that she has. The tears of joy. The grip that she has. Ask yourself, do I look like this? Is this how God sees me? If not, why? What is hindering you from having this? Mark gives us some things that would keep us from experiencing this in chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, envy, just name a few. Here in Galatians, let's look at chapter 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Adultery. For the sake of this teaching, as we all know, adultery is cheating on your spouse. What about spiritual adultery? What about loving something more than you love God? What about saying you're this but doing that? Fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Let each one of those words really penetrate. Don't just glaze over them as another list. Be strong enough to ask the Lord if any of those things are in your heart, affecting your relationship with Him, affecting your relationship with each other. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will be sent to hell by your choice. That's what he's saying. I'm not trying to beat up on you. We can't always see the truth when we are in it. We need someone from the outside to speak truth into us. Just like the five churches needs Jesus to call them out. He gives them an opportunity to repent. That's why it's in here. This is an encouragement to embrace him. An exhortation to act now as he is calling on you to do so. Don't risk being given over or your heart being hardened to his voice. Brian brought up Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. I want you to grasp that. The wisest man to ever live aside from Christ. Solomon started out strong in his faith, because he didn't keep God first. Because he didn't abide in God's love. I'm talking about the wisest man who ever lived. Are you comprehending that? How many people have lived before us? He didn't abide in God's love. He was led astray. The wisest man. And yet he fell away. He allowed himself to be deceived. Complacency kills. Comfort kills. Praise God, he saw it before it was too late and repented. Because of, we have the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. Amazing books. Kate, Mr. Q. It's all good, Kate. I love you. As Kate plays, I'd like everyone to bow your heads, please. And pray. As you're praying, continue to listen to me. If you think your heart falls into one of these two letters, indicating he is your first love, the two letters that I didn't read, I ask you to pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the condition of your heart. Ask him, Lord, do I truly make you first, or am I being deceived? Are you my first love? Ask him if there is anything in your life more of a priority than him. Ask him to give every person here that needs to make him first in their life the courage to do so today. Pray earnestly for each other. Maybe it's not that you lost your first love. Maybe it's because you never had him there in the first place. Maybe it is because you lost your first love. I don't know and I don't care. I just care that you do something about it today. I care that there are so many people in your life that need to see that God is first in your life and that you are walking the talk and living it. And that you are missing out on his perfect will for you. Listen, I love you all. More importantly, he loves you. You are his first love. Hear that. You are his first love. How many kings have stepped down from their throne for you? How many fathers have sacrificed their son for you? If your heart's pounding, That's the Holy Spirit speaking, telling you to act. If this is you, please stand so I can pray with you and for you. If you're not sure, stand. He's going to lead us in the song Simplicity in a minute. But first, with your heads still bowed, let me read the words to you. Hear the words. I come in simplicity, longing for purity, to worship you in spirit and truth, only you. Lord, strip it all away, so only you remain. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you. And forever I'll sing, yes, my heart will sing how I love you. I come with my broken song to you, the perfect one, to worship you in spirit and truth. Only you. Give me a childlike heart. Lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love. Only you. How I love you. How I love you. See, when we sing songs like this, and our heart isn't right, he's not in his rightful place, you're lying. It says, in spirit and truth. So as we sing, the elders will be up front. If you want prayer, I encourage you to do so. Don't let your pride or your image hold you back from that, holding you back from making things right. I encourage you to sing to the King of Glory with all your heart, with all your might. As you know, Kate was struggling earlier with her voice. So outdo her. Can the elders come up front, please? Can everybody stand as well as we sing?
how I love you. Come with my broken soul to you, the perfect one, to worship you, Spirit and truth, only you. Give me a childlike heart. Lead me to where you are. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing.
Diligent, that you are fervent, that you are aggressive in your relationship with Christ. That's what it takes. You cannot be complacent. You can't fall into comfort. The enemy is prowling like a lion, waiting to kill and destroy everything that you have, every relationship. If you don't do your part, if you don't put on the armor, if you don't spend time in His Word and in prayer, these things can be stolen from you. Father God, I ask that you would please, Lord, move within all of us, that your Spirit would continue to teach us as we leave here today, that he would show us the things that are ugly, that he would show us the good things that we do right. Lord, that we would repent and reconcile to you, that we would put you in your rightful place. That, Lord God, that you would be our first love, that we would do everything unto you, that we would be mindful of the people watching us on how we act, how we respond. Father, have your way in us. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys, people, church.